are you?
I'm wonderful. All right, very good. This is the first episode of the Hammer News podcast, and we're talking about this election. And it's been a long, crazy ride. Did you ever think we'd come to this point? I'm with Reno Dominico, who is a delegate to the Democratic National Convention last summer, and he is the president of the Ukrainian chapter of Democrats Abroad, the worldwide organization of Democrats, expats, which number there are actually as many as 5 or 6 million expats, and they have a right to vote from anywhere in the world forever, even if they don't own property or have an address or haven't been back to America in 10 years. And it's a great organization. Did you ever think we'd get to this point? You know, I mean, I listened to the people cackling with laughter when they talked about Trump even being the nominee, but the fact that this guy is within 2 or 3 points of the presidency is the most stunning thing I think I've ever seen in my life.
It's a pretty scary thing, Mike, and I think probably everyone knows that this is the most atypical election we've had in a long time. I think that the Republican Party has really gone off the rails. I think they have serious internal problems, especially if they lose. And it is a pretty scary thought that a demagogue, a xenophobe, a racist like Donald Trump, who has absolutely no credibility from the standpoint of a working class person. I mean, that's the most ironic thing. He's speaking for working class people, and all he's ever done throughout his life is really screw working class people, including people who worked in his casinos and contractors. I mean, I'm from New Jersey and close enough to Atlantic City to have watched Donald Trump bankrupt 4 casinos in the boom times. So it is incredible that we are where we are. But if you consider the barrage of propaganda and false information that has been thrown at Hillary Clinton, and the endemic racism that's still present in America, and certainly sexism, I think you got to give her a heck of a lot of credit for still standing strong and actually being ahead. At least as all the aggregate polls point out today, they've all pretty much merged between 3% and 4% nationally. So I think, although it is very depressing that we have a guy like Donald Trump who can rise and basically hijack one of the major political parties in the United States, the other side of the coin is we have Hillary Clinton, who's still standing strong. And I backed her because I thought she was a fighter, and she certainly has shown that she's capable of fighting.
That's the whole thing about Trump. It's, you know, I mean, what I said before was not that it's amazing that Hillary isn't 10 points ahead. It's amazing that 10% of the country can support a guy like Donald Trump. I mean, he has trashed everybody.
Minorities,
blacks, he hates everybody. And the thing is, now the Republican Party has shown its true face. This is what they are. They're now the R for racist party. And they can't get away from that. And they're, in fact, embracing it. You know, they're doing full-scale obstructionists. It's like, you know, they're taking the tornado and just going 120 down the strip, you know, with them saying, well, let's reduce the size of the Supreme Court. Let's take the president's right to appoint the Supreme Court away. It's utterly amazing. But Trump, you know, Trump doesn't stop. And the thing is that all these people he's empowered, this great seething, resentful underclass, supposed underclass of Americans who feel left behind or cheated or threatened by demographic changes, you know, they're not going away. They're going to be here, and they're going to be a force, and they're going to be this malignant force forever in America. And what we're seeing is exactly what you said, the victory of propaganda. You know, 25 years of Republican strategy to disenfranchise people, but mostly to say that Democrats don't have a right to rule, that they are incompetent, that they are evil, that they are illegitimate, you know, and specifically the Clintons. No people on, you know, since Franklin Roosevelt has suffered this kind of slander, this continuous, vicious slander. Maybe now $400-500 million of right-wing investigations and right-wing propaganda, you know, directed at them. And the thing is, now we've got, I don't know what it is, 10, 15% of people that are clinically insane, that think Hillary Clinton's had 45 people killed, that think, you know, stuff that's so off the wall, you just can't even talk to them as human beings. And I'm not sure where we go from that. What happens to these people? How can we integrate them into the civic society of America if there is such a thing?
I mean, you bring up a really good point because, yes, let's assume Hillary hangs on and wins the election. Again, as you pointed out, they've already talked about trying to legitimize her like they did Barack Obama. And it is a very serious situation because this is what happens when the white working class is left to drift alone by itself. And I do hold the Democratic Party to some extent responsible for this as well, because we have not tended to our flock or our garden, however you want to look at it, as we should have. The deunionization of America that really hit full speed under Ronald Reagan, the breakup of the community, job, church, family relationships that were so solidifying in the 50s and 40s have all left the white working class adrift. And if you really think about it historically, what was the goal of the Republican Party for years? To break the white working class. Well, they're broken. And they're leaderless, and they've responded in it to a demagogue because he appeals to their worst based interests. When people have no values to hold them together, they resort to things like racism. And I'm sure you've experienced this, Mike, but when I talk to people who are supporting Trump, and you present them with the evidence of the history of the Trump family's racism, which goes back to the father and their real estate dealings in New York City, they act like none of that's real. It's just not there.
That's what I mean. They're not reachable by facts, evidence, or truth. But you know, the thing is, I actually think that they're much worse. I looked it up, and they say what Trump people are making $72,000 a year average. That's much higher than normal. Clintons were like $60,000 household income. And so they aren't the poor, the dispossessed, the people that have been screwed by the system. They are people that are pretty
arrogant
and entitled. You know, but the thing is that this kind of this craziness, this really denial of truth and fantasy and having your own reality, your own news sources, your own whatever, this is now spread to everybody because incredibly more people believe that Hillary Clinton is dishonest than Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is the most dishonest human being I've seen in my life. He doesn't open his mouth. He doesn't say two sentences without lying two times. You know, it's absolutely amazing. The guy is a major criminal in terms of cheating all the people that he's done business with, not paying people, borrowing billions of dollars with no intention of repaying. That's fraud. Assaulting all these women, 18 women at last count, including this incredible 13-year-old girl that claimed, you know, he raped her in 94 at some billionaire pedophile sex party. And that's a current suit in New York City, and there hasn't been a peep in the media about that. You know, it might be baloney, but if this was Bill Clinton, I guarantee you this would have been on the covers of every paper for the last month, and nobody's really talked about it. And so he, you know, what he's doing is Karl Rove's strategy. He keeps attacking Hillary for his own crime. And it does two things. It muddies the water. It's like throwing dirt in the air. B, it's immunizing himself because she can't bring it up. You know, lock her up. Biggest criminal ever to run for office. You know, Bill Clinton is a rapist and an abuser. The election is rigged. He's conspiring with Vladimir Putin to try to sway this election. And I believe she could do it. It's all going to come down to Florida. It's all going to come down to Florida. Last thing I looked was 0.2 points, Hillary. You know, so it's dead even in Florida, and it's all going to be these people, these third party young people, idiots that are voting for Stein and Johnson, and you know, and it's shocking. I mean, it's like, well, Nader didn't do enough, you know? I mean, the people that voted for Nader have a whole lifetime to think about that, those 100,000 people, you know, that it was 500-something, 37 votes for Bush. And that what happened was maybe a million people died in Iraq because of that vote. And that might all happen again in Florida. But it seems that she, you know, he's that actually the third party people are taking more votes away from Trump than Clinton.
I agree that's correct. I'm not so worried about Steen. I think she's pretty much faded out of the picture. I think the left is united behind Hillary, mostly because of Trump. I think one thing Trump may very well have done that was not expected is it looks like he may actually have energized the Latino vote for the first time in history. But the scary part is what to do later. We can't deport these people. Using the Trump analogy, I mean, this is—they're not immigrants. These are people who are citizens, and it's going to take a lot of work to get them back into some kind of rational mode of thinking. And this is an ugly campaign. It's embarrassed us in front of the whole world. I think. I don't think people expected America to behave this way. And you know, when you look at it objectively, and I'm in Ukraine, and in Ukraine, conditions are far worse than they are in most parts of the United States. People there are not living that badly. They make use of immigrant labor on a regular basis. My own neighbors back in New Jersey, I always say to them, "You're really angry about immigration." I said, "Well, why don't you do something about it? When the lawn crew comes on Saturday to do your lawn, why don't you go out there and check and make sure everybody is a citizen?"
I know. You know, the thing is, America wouldn't run without the illegals. That's the funny part, you know. Americans are not going to pick fruit for 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's like brutal work. I talked to some young guy that did it, and he said, "I couldn't move the next day. I literally couldn't move." Or they're not going to change 200 beds. I ran a hostel for a while. You know, you change about 8 beds, and you really are utterly beat. But the thing is, to get back at Trump's strategy, I mean, this is Karl Rove's strategy. You don't go after the opponent's weaknesses, you go after his strengths. And so he keeps talking about, you know, all this nonsense, the rigged election, blah, 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 you know, and Hillary can't really bring it up. And it just is, you know, it's stunning. It's stunning, but it's, you know, that people listen to this stuff, and Hillary has to defend herself from a guy who could be arrested tomorrow on 5 different charges. Really, I mean, absolutely true. I was praying for the deputy, the Attorney General Schneiderman in New York to bring charges. You know, he's doing Trump University, but the thing is, there are a lot of things Donald Trump can be charged with. He's paid off, you know, the attorney generals in Florida, in New Jersey, you know, several times in his life. He's been connected to the mob for 30-something years. You know, one case about his mob relations was in Cincinnati, and they moved it to New York City. And who does it fall in front of? Well, Marianne Trump, his sister. And she, to her credit, and maybe, you know, her potential future, said, you know, you know, disengaged from it and said, you know, "I'm not going to take this case." But you know, this guy is a completely, we've never even seen anything as toxic and vile in American life. And even if you're a anti-feminist, you know, the things he said about women, you just go, you know, this guy's a pig. You know, he's not a civilized human being. He's not somebody who should represent a town council, let alone the United States of America. How does this happen? How do we get to this point? You know, I mean, what's wrong with America, and can it ever heal? Can it ever come back together? You know, I mean, Obama had this promise of you know, we are the United States of America. We're not red America. We're not blue America. No, now we are. I don't know. We're blood red America, and we're sickly dying blue America. We are at such loggerheads, and we have this vast percentage of completely irredeemable people. I mean, irredeemable, because some, you know, these people have soaked up this propaganda, this Republican soup of hatred and lies and slander against liberals, against Democrats, against minorities for 25 years. The only way you could cure them of them of it is lock them in a room and do a full deprogramming, just like religious fanatics,
well,
you know?
What are we going to do, Mike? We're going to put a wall around Oklahoma, Kansas, northern Florida, southern Virginia. I mean, what do? You can't do that.
No, of course not. So I mean, there's no way to cure it. There's no way to cure it. It's you know, unless you go to the source. And I thought about this, you know, 20 years ago. I said, what is this constant stream of you know, hate speech on AM talk radio, which is, you know, 98% like right-wing radio for foreigners that don't, you know, that haven't ever listened to American radio. You know, there's NPR, National Public Radio, or Public Broadcasting System, and there's the regular networks that are fairly sane. But then there's Fox News, which, you know, puts out about 70% pure propaganda and maybe 65-70% lies. You know, constant, the story of the day, the message of the day, the attack line of the day, with all their quote buddy news shows. And it's you know, it's done damage to people. I looked at some to rent a share a house with some guy, and he was, you know, he was like the thing Trump said. He was like 300-pound guy in his bedroom, and he says, you know, well, I just keep Fox News on all the time. And he was surprised that he couldn't find a roommate. You know, and like, I'm thinking, well, maybe I'd like this house. You know, maybe, how big is your garden there? It's like, you know, I mean, it was just amazing to me. And I look at people like that. I mean, a friend just erupted with this stuff. This nonsense about Hillary Clinton. You know, this guy's a friend of mine, and he's a working guy, and he's a steel worker, and a big union guy, and a big anti-Bush guy who knows the rich have been really, you know, pulling everybody's strings for a long, long time. And suddenly he's erupting with a fanatical, like, conspiracy nonsense, you know, of how many people Hillary has had killed, and you know, anti-Semitic stuff. And I mean, all this crap that I you know, it's just like he's become a pod person.
Well, this is also
how much of American.
I mean, we're looking at the sociology of this election now, is what you're doing, and a lot of this is male boomers, who, although we grew up somewhat in a revolutionary environment, and to some extent propelled a great deal of social change, including ending the Vietnam War. Bringing civil rights to fruition, liberating women, and liberated a lot of other things. The male white one in particular never really accepted that those changes would affect him personally. And again, with the 2008 recession, the end of good paying jobs like coal mining in West Virginia, where people had a good sense of self-worth, those people are very resentful of having an African-American president. They're certainly very, very concerned about having a female president. And it just grates at them. And as you said, you know, they get bombarded with Fox, which is basically a propaganda network, because it's not a news network. They have no bureaus. They have no...
Yeah, and it was kind of tragic when Obama tried to toss them out of the things, and all the other news organizations rallied to their defense, you know, because that's what's necessary. They, you know, we've got to bring back the fairness doctrine. We've got to shut down these right-wing, you know, 1,200 channel, clear channel, you know, people having rallies for the Iraq war, 30, 40,000 people, you know, I mean, that's something that is straight out of Goebbels' playbook. And
oh, yes. Absolutely.
You know, unless you and Rush Limbaugh, 3 hours a day of him, and then there are probably another 10 or 15 hours of other extreme hate mongering right wing radio talk show hosts.
What do they do, Mike? Like, what do they do? They say to this white alienated guy, "You are right. This is reverse racism. This is reverse sexism. You're discriminated against. You're not treated fairly. Mexicans are coming for your daughter." Not, well, actually, the guy coming for your daughter is probably Donald Trump. But, you know,
he likes, you see that picture of him with his daughter caressing him at 15, you know, and it's like, who's your daddy, you know?
Trump says, oh, they're bringing drugs, they're rapists, they're this, they're that. And these are people who basically are going to vote to legalize marijuana probably in 9 states today.
Really? That's going to go through in that many places?
I think California for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's amazing to me. It's really amazing to me. I can't even, you know, I can't even really wrap my head around that, you know, when you think there are people that went to jail for 20 years in Texas and stuff for that idiotic, stupid, painless, you know, harmless nonsense. And of course, you know, the last 3 presidents did it, you know, like Bush probably was a cocaine freak, which is why he got out of the National Guard.
At least he went sober, but he would have been better off to keep drinking. But that's beside the point. This is a pretty scary election, Mike, because I'm still very concerned. I remember, as I told you, maybe before working the Carter Reagan election, and I watched it disappear. Although the polls do look stable, I mean, they really do. And one of the interesting things about these polls is if you look at the polling going back to before the conventions all the way through to Election Day, it's surprisingly statistically stable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think she's coming back, and there's 2 things that are that people haven't really taken into effect. First, there's going to be a massive turnout in heavily liberal areas like New York and California. So her popular vote, I think, is going to be quite a bit higher because nobody's been paying attention to that. They've only been paying attention to the electoral vote because that's the thing that really counts or picks them, right?
Yeah.
And then the other thing is there's all this early voting, and Hispanics are coming out in droves, apparently, you know, like egged on by all this anti-Hispanic baloney from Trump. You know, apparently, and this is really shocking to me, that Hispanics have never even voted 50%. There's never even been half of Hispanics that are legally eligible to vote that have voted, which is outrageous, which is insane. And, you know, think about what it means for America. I mean, Trump may have done exactly what they're so afraid of, is him, you know, like, driven these people out to the polls to register, to get out and vote, you know, and imagine if it's not, you know, like 60%, but maybe 65% Hispanic vote now that actually get out there. That's huge number. That's, you know, we're talking 20, how many, what is this Hispanic vote? It's really, really big now. It's like 19% of the country. You know, that's 55 million people, I think, you know,
it's concentrated. Remember that.
Yes and no. Yes and no. No. You know, that's what everybody thinks. But now there's sizable Hispanic populations everywhere. In Montana, in Wyoming, they're everywhere because of the fruit pickers and stuff, and because of, you know, immigration.
You
and
yourself, Mike, they're everywhere. They're everywhere.
No, but I mean that's what the Trump people certainly think, you know, and that's what's fueling it. It isn't the fact they're left behind, and not if they're making $72,000, they're not losers, you know.
Well, the coal miners, the people who lost their manufacturing jobs. There's 2 segments. There's that segment that's the upper age boomer who does have income, and then there's the coal miner who's in the coal miner anymore and who's working in Walmart and wearing a stupid, silly costume.
Yeah, exactly. So the truth is, I don't believe those numbers at all. I don't believe the Trump people are all that wealthy. I don't care what Nate Silver says. That it just doesn't sound rational. There are a lot of, you know, lower class and poor whites, and the thing is that they've just seen the change in America, and they're not top dog anymore. That's what this is all about. It's about racism. It's about resentment. It's about hatred. They're eating our lunch, which isn't true. They're not eating our lunch.
What did Franklin Roosevelt say in 1932? The greatest thing we have to fear is fear itself. Fear is what's driving this. It's fear. Fear of the other. Fear of loss of status. Fear of different people. Fear of a woman. An actual woman is going to be on TV telling you what to do at night.
It's really interesting that Obama was celebrated as revolutionary and wonderful and cool by almost everybody, and Hillary is getting, you know, getting the shaft. She's getting all kinds of, you know, exquisitely vicious treatment because she's a woman. And,
well,
and
the Sanders, you know, people were just as unkind to her as the Trump
Do you know
people.
When the first woman was, how long ago, the first woman president in the world of the biggest country, the biggest democracy in the world, India in 1966, 50 years ago, 28 years ago, in Pakistan, a religious conservative place where they shoot girls for going to school, you know? They had a woman president, you know. It's like what I think 79 was Margaret Thatcher in England, you know, the maybe the second or third most
don't,
powerful.
Don't forget in Israel.
Golda Meir. And so this isn't something that's radical or exotic.
England has a queen. Great Britain has a queen.
Yeah.
But we've never had that here. I mean, look, America started as a racist country. It still has a lot of racism, and it's still very sexist. What's the last thing men are holding on to? They're holding on to their superiority over women. It's the last thing they've got. They lost their superiority on race. Wait till we have the election in 8 years and we try to run Michelle.
I don't know about that. That's, you know, I mean, with Hillary and Bill, they were a team. Did you ever meet the Clintons?
No, not personally.
I waited for Bill at the Radisson Slavonsky in Moscow till about 1:30 in the morning, but I guess he had other duties. One of the perks of going to, you know, to the evil empire. But I met him in Rhode Island, and the guy is amazing. He's a political android. He's like a robot. I mean, he went down a line of 1,000 people, 10 or 15 deep, and shook everybody's hand. I mean, you know, I'm not 1,000 feet, you know. Easily, you know, 5,000 hands and stuff. And yet when I shook his hand, and you're a Pole, you know about this, hailing from the scenic vacation metropolis of Camden, New Jersey. You know, if you shake hundreds or thousands of people's hands, so, you know, these the tough guys try to show off and crush them. And you know, after a while, your hand swells up like a squash because they've damaged it so much. And, you know, I shook Bill Clinton's hand a couple of times, actually, once on TV, which was right behind me. And it was like an android. It was cool. It was dry, you know. It was like, I said, this is amazing. You know, the guy's a political machine. He just loves it. He eats this stuff up. And Hillary, you know, like she says, doesn't really. You know, but the thing is, she's a decent person. And this is the thing that really kills me. You know, this sickness, this propaganda has infected everybody. The young people, everybody under 40 years old, has grown up in this bath of hatred against the Clintons. You know, demonic hatred against the Clintons. And they really believe that she's this corrupt person. They don't understand, okay, listen, you know, everybody that's really rich or that's famous can make a fortune telling, you know, doing speeches. The average for really ultra mega famous people is $100,000 to $300,000 or $400,000 a speech. It's very easy. There's two of them. For them to give one of these a week, that's 100 speeches a year. Multiply it out. That's where all these, you know, the millions of dollars came from. There's no quid pro quo. Yeah. You know, the Goldman speech might have been 2,500 people. They're not getting all these big concessions for it. It's just a straight out business. She talks for 30 or 40 minutes, takes a few questions, and forgets the damn stuff in 2 days. Now, yeah, she's not going to release the transcript or the audio because she's getting millions of dollars for it. If you put it on the internet, why should anybody pay millions of dollars, you know?
I do think there are things that they could have done differently that would have made it, that I would have recommended to them to do differently.
Like, oh, of course. I love Bernie. I voted for Bernie. You know, he's right about going after the bankers. These are the two big things Obama didn't do. He didn't go after the criminal neocons that caused the Iraq invasion, the biggest, you know, war crime really in American history since the Philippines, probably. And he didn't go after the bankers.
Obama was not a socialist, after all. He really wasn't.
But, you know, he is from Kenya. Let's give him credit.
I want to go back. We're running on pretty long here. I want to go back to your point about the popular vote, because that was important. If we win the popular vote and lose the Electoral College this time, I am going to actively join the movement to get rid of the, for this movement for 270, where already 11 states have signed legislation that once enough states sign that equal 270 electoral votes, they will pledge their electors only to the winner of the popular vote. Because it's entirely possible that Hillary wins the popular vote tonight, but loses Florida narrowly, North Carolina narrowly, Michigan narrowly, Pennsylvania narrowly, Nevada narrowly, and loses the election.
What, Pennsylvania? That's what, like one real blue state you're talking here? Like not.
Well, if they lose Pennsylvania and Michigan, they're in deep trouble.
Well, I think it's all going to, yeah, I mean, that. I think those are pretty much a lock. They're still up for 4, 5, 6 points.
Yeah,
you know, the big thing
is
it's all Florida. That's what it comes down to.
I saw this lead with Carter just evaporate in the last 96, 72 hours. It just disappeared. And
sure,
it was ugly feeling.
If they blocked the settlement for the Orion-Contra thing, you know, with another one of those kind of patent treasons that the Democrats never seem to want to expose. But the thing about Hillary is that more people can listen to Trump and think that he tells the truth more than Hillary Clinton. It's like, what kind of funhouse, like nightmare mirror country are we now? Well, that people can look at this pathological narcissist liar, this sleazy guy, you know, this crude, ignorant guy slandering and beating up on everybody and think he tells the truth more? What, because he isn't a politician? It's like Hillary was rated by Politico the most honest person in the race, more honest than Bernie Sanders, you know, more honest than everybody, which is, you know, which is really true. I mean, did you see Trumpland, Michael Moore's movie?
I haven't had a chance. You have to see it.
It's actually amazing. He actually panders to the Trumpeteers for 25 minutes. He talks about all the crap that, you know, that they believe and why you're right and why you should vote for Trump and blah blah blah. And then he turns around and says, "And you'll it'll feel good for 5 seconds." And then he launches into a full-scale blast on the entire sickness sweeping America and the hatred and the evil and the racism, the xenophobia and all these like targeting and scapegoating of minorities that Trump is engaged in. I mean, unprecedented in America, unprecedented for the Republican Party. But now this is what the Republican Party is. And I dreamed that Trump would be the candidate. I thought this is great because he will destroy the Republican Party, and he will. Or he will turn it into, you know, this neo-nationalist fascist party that you know may happen, and a lot of them will split off, and maybe it'll be much weaker, but maybe it'll be much 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 more evil. It's I mean, it really is inconceivable that this all could happen. But you know, they've been playing with this since 69. You know, the wink wink nod nod racism, Willie Horton and the Southern strategy, all this crap. And now pretty much they, you know, it's just overt. You know, if you hate minorities, you hate women, if you hate enough, you're a Republican. And that's what I want to say to every young person, you know, get out there, vote. Hillary Clinton is a decent human being. She's fought for the poor. She's fought for children. She's fought for health care all her life. You know, she does the work. She's like Ted Kennedy. She kicks ass. She does the work. She gets the things passed. She works with the opposition. You know, the Republicans respect Hillary Clinton more than any other woman, more than any other Democrat, maybe. And that's why they promote this hatred of her, this demonization, because that's the only way they can beat her, you know. And so all you young people, everybody that's thinking of voting for Stein, you know, for no vaccine Stein, or where's Aleppo Johnson, you know, think about what you're doing, because, you know, especially in Florida and the swing states, you have the power to change the world. And if you put Trump in the White House, you will regret it for the rest of your life.
Well, they may very well. What's your prediction for today?
I'm thinking Hillary is going to do better in the popular vote. I'm thinking now +4 in the popular vote. I don't really know, you know, I don't crunch the electoral numbers, but I think, you know, sizable, 320, 325, 330, She's going to keep all the traditional Democratic states, and I think she's going to barely win Florida and barely win New Hampshire. It's interesting, 538 has her winning Nevada, New Hampshire, Florida, with a no toss-up stuff. And
they don't have Florida and New Hampshire as no toss-up.
Real Clear Politics has Trump taking all those three states and the no toss-up things. So that's those are the real. And it's amazing that I just can't believe that New Hampshire has flipped that much. It was 7-8 points up, 10-15 days ago for Hillary.
How do you explain that one?
I don't. I think it's wrong. I think it's nonsense. Some of these pollsters are idiots. Some of them, some right-wing pollsters have gotten in there. A, B, the early voting, they're not taking account of the vast early voting, 20, 30 million people, and that is significant Hispanic and Democratic. They're the ones that are getting out much more than the Republicans, I think, to vote early. And they also don't understand, the deep resentment and fear that Trump has caused throughout minority communities that they don't particularly enunciate. They're not screaming about it. They're not, because they're afraid, because they're afraid of these kind of emotions he's brought up. But when it comes time to vote, they're going to get out there. They're going to get out there. They're going to cast their ballots and they're going to speak at the ballot box. And I think we're going to see a much bigger vote of them, Hispanics and maybe not blacks, because of course she's not black, but man, they loved her in the primaries.
Well, they're going to vote. They're going to vote. There's no doubt they're going to vote. But again, it's a little bit different than having one of your own there, which is why we got to hope for a large turnout amongst educated women. And a good turnout from Hispanics. I say Hillary by
Let me finish. Senate, I think is that's the big thing now. Nevada is the one that swung back and forth. What's her name? Mastis. You know the woman in Nevada Senate.
The Hispanic woman, yes.
She's now head again, and it looks like Harry Reid has wrapped that up.
I don't know if it's wrapped up, but I think they got a good chance of winning that.
Yeah, New Hampshire.
If we can win in New Hampshire, it'd be very important.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Ayotte has bounded back by disendorsing Donald Trump, a few weeks ago, and immediately the whole race changed. I've met Hassan. She's really a nice girl. She went to my university.
We're getting a little bit long here, but let me just say, I think it'll be Hillary plus three, around 300 electoral votes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking Hillary plus four, around 320, 325. I think that the Democrats don't take the Senate. It's like plus three, we pick up three, and,
I think we're going to get that fourth Senate seat. If Hillary wins, we get the fourth Senate seat.
And that probably, if it doesn't happen, also Indiana was another real big swing when Bi was ahead, and I think you can ascribe that to James Comey desperately scrabbling for some purchase in a political future in his party, and
that
really
was a pretty serious that was a pretty serious involvement, the FBI injecting itself.
He should be fired really the first day. He should be just booted out of there. That was
it doesn't work like that.
It was unconscionable. He had nothing to report. He was just doing it as a showbiz thing. And it's like, okay, there now, people don't understand, the FBI has been also totally contaminated by the hate Clinton thing. Starr had his own entire retinue of 10 or 15 dedicated FBI agents, and these people were Nazis. They didn't let Monica Lewinsky call a lawyer for 18 or 24 hours. I mean, they acted like stormtroopers, and they think Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton are the Antichrist. And it isn't just those guys. It was the guys that Bush had to terrorize Iraq critics like Ambassador Joe Wilson, who I questioned, a really nice guy. And they destroyed his business. They went up to people people he talked to, you know, and say, don't do business with this guy. He's going down. And he said, you know, I mean, I listened to a long, long lecture, really the longest lecture ever. And he said, they set out to destroy my business. The year before, I made $900,000. That year, I made $100,000, and they succeeded. They succeeded. I mean, you know, think about that. Like, just, you know, like private FBI thugs, you know, trying to destroy people just because they told the truth about that there was no, you know, there was no weapons of mass destruction. And the Bush people, supposed they had a 5,300 person enemies list, you know, journalists, of anybody that talked about, you know, the truth of the Iraq invasion before it happened or even after, and they went after them. They tried to screw them in every way, and those FBI guys were never purged. And that's what's causing, you know, the leaks out of the New York office. So, you know, Hillary is not going to have an easy path. She's going to be mired from the beginning to the end in constant obstruction, in hatred, in nonsense investigations, in suits and whatever. And you just have to wonder, you know, why she even wanted this. You know, how can anybody take so much abuse? I mean, it's so funny. She really is one of the toughest people I've ever seen. You know, to suffer that kind of abuse and come back from war and, you know, come back. And I think really with her, it is a passion to serve. And that's what Michael Moore brought out, too. You know, he talked about all the things she did. And he brought this audience to tears. And a lot of them were Trump people. I mean, not the majority, amazingly enough, even though it was a very heavily Trump county, you know, easy 30, 35, 40% of them were Trump people, and he brought them almost all to tears. It was amazing. It's an amazing movie. It really, really, it's not long. It's only 1 hour. It's on YouTube. You know, just punch it up.
Let's bring this to some conclusion, because I've got some other tasks yet ahead of me today.
What do you think? How about the Senate? What do you think the Senate?
I think we're going to take 4 seats. I think we're going to take New Hampshire, Wisconsin. I think we're going to get to Nevada, and I think we're going to, what was the other one? I forgot the other one. 1 second.
Pennsylvania.
I think we're going to win Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Yeah, that's another big swing.
If we carry Pennsylvania in the presidential, McGuinty will win the Senate seat. So they go together. I mean, if we lose Pennsylvania, you're going to lose the Senate seat. If we lose Pennsylvania in the presidential, we're going to lose the election. I'm still very nervous about this election. I really pray that's the case.
I really pray that's the case, because that's the Supreme Court, and that's the entire future of America. That's, you know,
getting rid
of all these poisonous laws, Citizens United, you know, killing the Voting Rights Act. I mean,
And if you think back to 1968, the last time we had such a pivotal election like this one, that's exactly the trajectory we were put on, and we stayed on that trajectory for 50 years. And now's the time. We have to try to win this election. But, I mean, I've done all I can. I hope you've done all you could. If there's anybody out there who hears this who didn't vote yet or can talk to somebody back in the States or knows some friends yet who didn't get to the polls, get them out there and make sure they vote, and make sure they vote right, because it's a really important election.
Mm-hmm. All right, great. It's been great to talk to you. This is Hammer News, the very first podcast from Hammer News. I'm Michael Hammerschlag, published in about 30 major papers over 3.5 decades across 21 time zones, including New York Times, Providence Journal, Seattle Times, Columbia Journalism Review, Media Channel. I'm an expert on the former Soviet Union, foreign policy, global warming, and a host of other things. I've done 3 big articles on the threat of nuclear war, and had a lot of semi-military investigations. And there's Reno Domenico, a longtime political guy from New Jersey, was a delegate to the Democratic National Convention this year, and the Ukraine chapter president of Democrats Abroad, the worldwide organization of Democratic expats. And let's all keep our fingers crossed and pray for a good result tonight.
One of our members, Nick Waller, promised me that he was going to get 3 shamans to also pray. So
we need all the help we can get. All right, it's good to talk to you, Reno. It's great.
Bye-bye.
Listen, don't, you know, if you don't see that thing, the file, you know, saved.
Let's discontinue and then I'll take a look, okay?
Yeah, you know, whatever you do, don't close the program. I think, you know, maybe if when you hit off or if there's an off button on it, you know, I think it automatically should save, though, right?
We're going to find out right now.
Okay, very good. Ciao.
Thank you. Ciao.